Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, where we want to give you tips on staying healthy and even expose common myths about health and aging so you can enjoy a healthier and active life in the amazing South Sound. Brought to you by Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy.
And we are interviewing Marissa Ng, our athletic trainer here at Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy, and she is in charge of our cash and wellness classes and personal training with clients that really are motivated and wanting to stay out of doctor's offices. So let's start off. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, good morning, Jennifer.
Tell us where you got your degree and why you chose athletic training.
Well, I went to the University of North Dakota, and I've always been really interested with athletics, and I was an athlete myself growing up. I really wanted to pursue the physical therapy path, but as I got to North Dakota, I realized that athletics was something I was more interested in. So I did a four-year degree there, and I had rotations with the women's hockey team, the soccer team, and I followed the football team as well. After my rotations there, though, I realized I wanted more of a set job. I didn't really enjoy the traveling. It was tiring, and I wanted more set hours. So when I came back home here to Washington, I found Penrose Physical Therapy.
Yay!
And I realized the geriatric population was more my route. It's really rewarding getting to see the older population as they lose some of their functioning skills, helping them regain just doing their normal activities of daily living.
Yeah. And even just getting back to, you know, hiking and fishing and what they love.
Yeah. Strolling with the dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And enjoying the Pacific Northwest. So let's talk a little bit about what truly threatens people in their 50 plus age group with independence, mobility, and enjoying retirement. Because I often hear like, yeah, these golden years, they're not really golden. And it's like, all right, let's change that. Let's see what we can do about that. I mean, sometimes we can't always control what cards we get dealt with diagnoses sometimes. But there are a lot of things we can impact with lifestyle and exercise and diet. So I'm excited to talk about, you know, just what we can do and what the research says that is helpful for this population. So when you've interviewed them and they want to do personal training with you and do our couple classes that we have that you run, what is one of their, you know, main concerns with health and fitness? So a couple of the main ones that come to mind.
I would say one of the biggest concerns with this population is the risk of falling, the fears of falls and what can come from that, fracturing your hip and losing that independence. And once that independence is lost, that's when you really see that downhill spiral. And that's when a lot of things go sideways as they get older. Depression happens, and eventually that can lead to early more fatality.
Yeah. So it's not an easy thing to talk about, but falls are the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries for older Americans. It threatens their safety and independence. And this is something that is, I want to get out there, is that falling is not inevitable part of aging. I think people just think like, oh, that's just part of getting older. It happens more in that population, but it's not inevitable if people train the different systems. So, I mean, I think that some of these statistics are kind of sobering. You know, 1 in 4 age 65 plus falls each year. Every 11 seconds, one's treated in the emergency room for a fall, and every 19 minutes, someone dies from a fall. So it's real, and the impacts are real. So let's talk a little bit more of like how the listeners can test themselves to know if they're at risk for falls. So go ahead and describe some things that simply that they could do at home safely.
Yeah, there's a few different things that are really simple and easy and require no equipment whatsoever. One of the simplest things you can do is just stand at a counter or a higher service and do a single leg balance test. what we're really looking for is we want you to be able to balance for 50 seconds. That would be optimal. If you could do 50 seconds without having to reach out for the counter surface or swaying from side to side.
Or putting your other foot down.
But start with smaller increments. Our biggest goal is 50 seconds, but if you can start with 15 seconds and move on to 20 and 30, then eventually you'll get there to that goal. And with everything, it's repetition. So the more you do it, the easier it will become. There's another balance test that you could do at home as well. There's a tandem balance. So that's when you just set one foot in front of the other and you balance in front of a counter as well if you're unsteady on your feet. And once again, you'd want to start with that 15 to 20 second increment and work your way up to 30 seconds. And as that gets easier, you can throw in different types of variations. You can do eyes closed. I like doing those in the doorway as well. So you can have that security of surface either side of you. But if you don't have a good doorway to use, you can always use a counter or a chair to hold on to.
So if they try the balance, you know, the single leg balance is pretty easy, let's say. To make it harder, they can close their eyes, and let's say that's kind of a struggle. What would that tell the person? What is it? What system is weak with that?
Well, if their balance is off, then they would definitely need to start working on that. And you know, there are classes, we do group classes in which they could better strengthen that system. And we find that group classes are really great, especially for this demographic, because of that. You get that social aspect, you get that accountability. Once you find that your friends are going every Saturday to a morning class and you see how well they're walking down the street, they're not having to use their cane or limping or complaining about any pain, then you're going to want to get down that same level.
Right. You want to be able to keep up. Yeah. I think people don't realize how multifactorial balance is, that you've got your visual system, you got your vestibular inner ear system, you have your strength and your ankle reacting, your hip reacting, your core, your posture. There's just a lot that affects balance that I think people aren't always necessarily aware of, that there's like all of that plays a role.
Yes. Yeah. It's all a kinetic chain. Everything is interacting. It's funny, if you try one of the simplest things, if you were doing that single leg balance at a counter, and if you have mastered the single leg balance and you just try and reach out and put your fingertip to your nose, it's amazing how much more difficult that is going to be than if you were just standing on one foot. It's adding in those different factors that we're just unaware of that we always need to work on.
Right. Or even like head turning while you're standing on one leg, because where the head turns, your body follows, which is why people, when they go for a walk and they get startled by a noise and they go to look, the next thing they know, they're on the ground. Yes. So there's ways to train the system to be able to better react. Yes. Yeah. And it's one of those things, I think people, it's use it or lose it. You know, if you're sitting too much, you're probably not utilizing the balance systems very often or as often as you should, and that system gets weaker.
Yeah, it really is. And I think at this age level, a lot of people think that they need to rest, and rest is what they need to get better, but that's just the complete opposite. At this age, we should be continuing to move and be agile, continue to strengthen, because if we're not going to move around, you're just going to stiffen up and it's going to get worse. And that's how arthritis begins, other cardiovascular issues. So we always want to keep moving.
Yep. Yeah. The sedentary, I think people often think that arthritis is, it's always going to happen. I'm getting older, I'm going to get arthritis. Really what the research shows is the more sedentary you are is the reason why you're getting arthritis. Now there's some genetic stuff that can be at play too, but you really, according to the data and the research, that if you move more and you sit less, you're lubricating those joints and giving them nutrition, and they will do better and have less arthritis. So that it really comes down to being sedentary is the worst thing for joints.
It really is.
Yeah, and then as well as balance. So we are going to take a little break from our sponsor. So we're just going to have a little pause and then we'll come back.
And now a special offer from Penrose Physical Therapy. On your next visit to our office, if you mention this podcast, we will give you 50% off one session of our senior exercise classes. So next time you come in, please be sure to let the staff know you're a proud listener of the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast. And now, back to the show.
All right, so we're just going to tie back a little bit to the falls again. So if someone fails those tests of balance that we chatted about earlier with the single leg balance, the tandem, and the eyes closed, and they haven't had a fall yet, they still are at risk for a fall by failing those tests. So the thing with physical therapy is someone has to have fallen or really have a pain somewhere to come and get services. However, there's probably many listeners on this call that are like, well, I don't really fit that category, but I'm not doing as well with my balance as I'd like to. So getting into a class would be the best thing. I mean, at a minimum, at least try doing those things we just talked about. But getting into a class that works on balance and strength. So why don't you talk about your class and how you run it and why strength is also a component of the balance too?
Yeah, so the class that we're running here, it's called Stronger Bones and Balance. So I like to run circuits, so we're constantly moving and keeping that heart rate up. A lot of the motions we have focused is for osteoporosis. So if you do have osteoporosis, all these movements would be safe, and we would be well aware of what you should and shouldn't do. So you could carry that on to all of your other functions of life. But with our circuit training, we focus on lower leg strengthening as well as core and arms and balance, which is a huge piece. And I like to run them through different agility ladders. We could do sideways walking while I'm tossing the ball at them and they're having to catch it and throw it back. I like to throw in all those different factors because you never know when you could just be walking down the road and be caught off guard by a dog barking at you or somebody, your neighbor hollering at you to come over, and all it takes is that little distraction to make a fall occur. So we do balance on foam, we do walking on Dynadisc and Bosus, those half moon shaped objects that really make it difficult for you to stand still, let alone walk on.
Yeah, so just like a lot of uneven things and obstacles and distraction and multitasking and things that's a lot of reason why falls happen.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if you don't feel secure, we also have parallel bars here. So you get to practice all of these things safe with parallel bars on either side of you. And we have all the different tools so that you can get that strength while feeling secure.
So parallel bars, just so people know a little more what they are, they're bars on either side of you that are at like a counter height so you can grab them quickly, but they're about 12 feet long on either side so you can go through an obstacle course and yet touch the bar as needed. Yeah, so it's a little more challenging setup in the bars on purpose.
Definitely, yes. Yep, everyone has to touch the bar at one point.
or you're not doing your job.
Exactly. But we also focus on other things such as the simplest of tasks, like getting out of your chair. We really like focusing on getting those quads stronger in your legs, your hips stronger, because we want to see if you can get out of that chair at a minimum of
10 times. Yeah, I think in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds is what we're looking for. So we really hit hard on strengthening those legs and proper hip hinging. A lot of us bend so wrong that's where that back pain comes from. So we like to teach on proper movement as well. And a lot of that just comes from the simplest of things of hinging at the hip.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't even really understand what that is. They all have heard bend with my knees, squat with my knees, lift with my knees. And it's like, well, that's a good way to go if you want to give yourself knee arthritis. Keep that up. Just right. Keep on going. But really, it's a matter of sticking that butt out and hinging at the hip, and you do have to bend your knee down to get down deeper, but not where your knees go past your toes. And most people, when they demonstrate to me, it's all about the knees and they don't even get that the hip back far enough. And a lot of it's because of like their hip is tight, their hip is weak, and they physically can't do it correctly. So that takes a little bit of training, and you cover that in that class.
We do, yeah. And it's just the simplest of movements. These are little things that you could do at home all the time when you're picking something up off the floor, grabbing that bag of groceries. We don't always think about proper movements. And as we get older, it's very important to make sure that we're following these proper movements so that we don't make anything angry in the body.
Right. Don't injure our back over and over.
But I think a lot of times the group exercise is great, especially for this population. The social aspect of knowing, okay, Susan's going to be here today and I want to make sure that I get to work out with her. The ladies that I have, they love coming and having coffee afterwards. So it's a great routine to do on Saturday mornings. Great way to just start the day and get those endorphins released.
Yeah, it's like a little community. And we plan to do more on the weekdays here too, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'll get feedback from people of what days and times they would like to see more classes. So we'll expand that as needed. So besides falls, the other thing we hear people 50 plus say is they really want to be active, independent, stay out of doctor's offices, and just move better with less pain. So kind of what does the research say about that in general, like kind of more global health things? And I have a couple things too, but go ahead and share on that.
Well, it's amazing how just exercising and moving around daily can really improve your overall healing and functions. Studies show that regular exercise, especially by seniors, can increase healing time by almost 25%. So just walking around at least 20 minutes a day, getting that cardiovascular system working, getting those legs and that blood flowing, that can help you heal the simplest of things.
Yeah, well, blood flow brings us the nutrients to heal. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, if people really want to know the number one thing to anti-aging, because people are always on the hunt for how to live younger, and it's like exercise. Just keep exercising. Yes. Balance and strength and flexibility. Yeah, the physical activity reduces the risk of dying prematurely from heart disease, of developing diabetes and colon cancer. It reduces high blood pressure for those who already have it, the feelings of depression, anxiety, weight control, building healthy bones, muscles, and joints. And it just overall helps people to become stronger, balanced, and, you know, you're able to move without falling. And that's a big fear for people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's been a lot of long-term studies that have looked at exercise and that it does reduce the loss of bone density. So we'll get into a little bit of that soft bone in a minute. But for people listening right now, maybe they might want to know, like, well, what would be a great kind of a balanced workout schedule? Like, what should I aim for strength training and cardio? Like, what are the main elements people should really have every week?
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk a lot about gaining more strength, but we don't really talk so much about flexibility, which is also a huge factor. If you're just going to be, you know, strengthening those muscles, you need to be also becoming more flexible. So there's really three factors that you should be focusing on: your cardiovascular health, your overall strength, and more importantly, your flexibility. Because your flexibility is what's going to allow you to get stronger and complete those movements in full range, pain-free. I like to tell my patients 2 to 3 times a week for strength. I feel like every day you should be doing something cardiovascular-wise, whether that be a short walk, 15 to 20 minutes, walking the dog around the block, just something little to where you're getting that heart rate up. Flexibility, I feel like that should be every day as well. It's very simple. You can do the simplest of exercises sitting in the chair, even laying in bed when you wake up in the morning, getting everything woken up, bringing your knees to your chest. That's a great way to start the day.
There's a lot of different ways to do stretches that are simple to implement here and there. It's just a matter of, if you don't know what to do, finding a good team to work with to help you figure out, okay, what should I do for flexibility for my hips, my shoulders, my posture? I mean, I think the big thing is the posture that we see people start to develop over time, that awful upper rounded back.
Right. And we're all guilty of it. It doesn't matter what age, but we're all in this forward, head bent over, let's read our text messages type posture.
Yeah. Thank you, technology. Thank you, Apple. Yeah. Yeah. So it is one of those, I think I tell people too, that like stretching is what's going to keep you from injuring yourself in terms of like having enough hip mobility. If your hips are tight, you're more at risk for injuring your low back. And it's a myth that you want to have flexibility in your back. You need movement, yes, but you really should be focusing your flexibility on your hips. Like your hip is your main mover with, you know, squatting and lifting.
Yep. We use it all the time, every day.
Yep. Yep. It's that upper back that really needs a lot of stretching for that roundedness in the chest area and the shoulders. That really needs a lot of stretching. It's the low back that people think, oh, I should bend over and touch my toes. Actually, not really. Let's find a better way that protects that back, especially if you have soft bone. That would be like one of the worst stretches to do.
Never doing that motion with the soft bones.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that. I think the thing with soft bones people don't realize is that over the age of 50, 1 in 2 women will have an osteoporosis related fracture and 1 in 4 men will have it. It's so high. Yeah, it is so high and it's so silent. And there's many people walking around that just don't even know that they have soft bone. So in my opinion, in the 50 older crowd, I almost treat everybody like, all right, you're probably at risk for soft bone. Let's not even put you in a position that could compromise your soft bone. Because most of it is good spine hygiene, keeping that neutral spine, straight spine, and not over bending it. So it's one of those, I think, those are high numbers. It's a silent disease, so to speak. You oftentimes don't have pain and even know about it. So it's one that I just think that's a big deal. And I think people are afraid if they do get the diagnosis, then they're afraid they don't know what to do. It's like, I don't want to break anything. I don't want to do anything wrong. How should I move? How should I lift?
And then they do nothing. And that's the worst.
And then that gets worse.
That is the worst.
Yeah. So talk about with these individuals in your classes, how do you overcome their fear of lifting weights and how you monitor them and how you start them? Because you do have to lift enough weight to stimulate bone density. It can't be super light, but in the beginning when they haven't done anything, you're just going to start with form. Yeah. So yeah, go ahead and kind of talk through how you deal with that.
So as we mentioned before, our class, it's called Stronger Bones. But we like to limit it to about 8 to 10 people at max, because I really like to focus on people's function and how they're moving, and I don't want them to continue doing a movement that's going to be harmful to them. So it's really great for education. It's not like a large class to where you're going to be missed in the back of the class. So we go over a lot of the proper movements and functions. And with osteoporosis, we really like to follow this protocol from the study we found of 5 reps and 5 sets. So we liked them to go as hard as 85% for these 5 reps and 5 sets so they can really trigger that bone strengthening. With osteoporosis, I don't know if anyone has heard of the weighted vest, but that's something that we work towards. But we only do that after we know that we're moving in the proper form. So we start a lot with just body weight movements. And, you know, you may feel like, oh, that's not going to be hard enough. But they are sweating by the end of my workouts. Yeah. And, you know, there's only a few that have the weighted vest yet because they have fear of making sure I don't want to add in all this extra weight if I'm not doing things properly. But I've watched and I've seen over a 10-week span the balance and the strengthening greatly improve by working this 5 reps, 5 sets circuit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So it's a great program that people feel comfortable with and learning at their pace, like wherever they're at is where you're going to start them. And so it works well, even if you feel like you just have, you've never lifted weight. Like we get women in here that get that diagnosis and they're like, look, I have no upper body strength. I've never done upper body workouts. I don't even know what to do. I'm scared. and you just start with where they're at. And
I've had some that have never even worked out before that have come to class and they have learned so much just after a few sessions, and they were able to take that home with them and, you know, apply it to their daily functions. But it's great having just the smaller class. They're really able to feel safe and they can always call me over, and you can move at your own pace so you don't feel the stress of having to keep up with the rest of the class. And the way the circuits are laid out, they're so spread out that you're never feeling like the person behind you is pushing you to finish up your exercise. There's enough time for you to really focus on what you're doing properly.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think that's what makes these very different from some of the larger group classes of just a strength and conditioning class.
Oh yeah, most definitely. They're very different.
Yeah. The other osteoporosis class, we kind of touched on it earlier too, is that just that posture yoga. It's a more of a chair yoga class. So maybe talk a little bit more about how that one's a little different, but yet dealing with the bone density and how does, because I do get that question, like, well, how does yoga help with bone density?
Right. Yeah. Well, you know,
and I'm not supposed to bend. So how does that work?
Exactly. And that's a huge fear. And people think that yoga is only going to harm them with some of those movements. But like Jennifer was mentioning, we have the chair there to help aid in keeping that good posture and a neutral spine. And a lot of the motions are just when they're stretching and they're triggering that bone to be stressed, that's how that bone density is increased. And it's amazing, the simplest of movements that we do in there, just contracting those muscles is what's really helping to increase the bone density.
Right. So it's like the pulling, kind of another way to put it, is when you're in a stretch position and you feel the pull, that pulling of that muscle attachment on the bone stimulates the bone to become denser, and then holding it. So in the beginning, they may not be able to hold it as long, but they work up to that over time. And that hold of the pull is the stimulus to the bone density. So there, that Dr. Lauren Fishman is kind of the main leader on he wrote a book on yoga for osteoporosis and did a long-term study. And those people that really did that yoga consistently had increases in bone density. But all the positions have to be modified, right? Like, yes. All that forward bending, there's none of that.
Oh, there is no forward bending. And it's only 12 poses that are focused on. So it's very simple to apply to your everyday living. You don't have to book this out into your schedule. You could easily apply these 12 poses in the morning, and it's a great way to start your day stretching out the body.
Yeah, it has great posture ones and great hip ones.
And if you suffer from that neck pain or back pain or overall posture, like we were mentioning, you know, that forward hunched, it's a great way to improve that, open up that chest where we're all very tight in.
Yeah. I think of dental hygienists when I think of that class.
Oh, yeah.
And people that, you know, any kind of lab technician, anyone who's really bent forward a lot, like, these would be some great stretches to learn and then carry forward in their life. Like, this would be, I remember going through the class thinking, like, okay, chair yoga, am I going to get a stretch and a workout? And I'm like, okay, yep, the answer is yes. So it's definitely, it targets the right areas with posture and hip stretching, I think. The other class we want to mention about too is the low back pain kind of modified Pilates class that we want to roll out. And just the Pilates, if you think about Pilates, if people have taken it, there's a lot of bending. So yeah, talk to me about how you'd modify that and what things we would focus on in that class for our, because I know there's a lot of listeners probably that deal with low back pain on a regular basis, but they don't feel like it's bad enough where they need to get physical therapy. They've just kind of learned to live with it. Like how this class would might be an option for them.
Yeah, well, a lot of the misconception I feel is that with the low back pain, they feel like they need to strengthen the back. But really, it's strengthening of the core. And for those of you who are not aware of the core, that's our abdominal muscles, and that's really what is the soul of our body.
So we should do sit-ups then?
No. Sit-ups, sit-ups we want to avoid.
I'm joking.
50 sit-ups, no. Not so much. But with here, we have the tools to provide and modify the movements of Pilates. And in fact, 70% of all Pilates positions are not good for osteoporotic people, if they have sciatica or even disc injuries. Those movements are no good. Good for you. And it's only going to cause more harm. And that's where more injury occurs.
Yeah. So there's a lot of modifications that we have to make that would be then applicable for these people. So it's a very, it's a safe class for low back pain with, you know, any of the spine conditions or sciatica and disc problems, because all that bending forward would create more trouble. And then the other thing to go through in that class, I think we talked a little bit about how you tackle the hip stuff and hip hinge. Yeah, go ahead and talk a little bit about, besides the core strength and modifying all the positions, what else would that class kind of tackle with the back pain?
Yeah, well, like we mentioned before, our body is a kinetic chain. So one body part may hurt, but little do we know that's going to affect something else. And so with that low back pain, it's usually associated with tight hip flexors. So what we'd want to work on is stretching out the hips, as well as properly functioning at the hip by getting that proper hip hinge. So along with that modified Pilates class that we want to take off with, we'd be focusing on core, but we'd be focusing on proper hip hinging and squatting down so that we can do those easy functions that we're trying to do every day, like pick up that dog toy off the ground so you can throw it to your dog.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Hip mobility and hip strength really impacts the back for sure. Well, I think that's everything that we wanted to cover today. And that helps people know how they can stay active and mobile and stay out of doctor's offices and keep their independence and mobility. And if you want to get in touch with Marissa and us in our classes, if you even, you just want to chat and just see if this is even the right next step, or if you think it's more involved and might need physical therapy, or what, you know, if you're just not sure where to start, but you know that you need to do something, then go ahead and email us at info@penrosept.com, or you can give us a call. So 360-456-1444. But we'd be happy to help people stay active and mobile and out of doctor's offices. Anything else you want to add?
I just want to help people get back to moving around pain-free and not having to give up activities that they love.
Yep, keeping up with others and what they want to do and actually make their golden years golden again.
Exactly.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, brought to you by Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy. If you want some free tips to implement right away on various problems like knee pain, back pain, running injuries, and many more issues, then jump on over to penrosept.com and download the free report that fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444 and info@penrosept.com. You can stay connected with us at stayhealthysouthsound.com and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast.